Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord on this, the second Sunday of Advent. And this day is a service of the Word. We'll be lighting two candles, and we'll be hearing about the word of the day. See if you remember last week's word. Hope. Okay. The newest word, they've changed things over the years with the lectionary, but the key word for today is love, L-O-V-E. Okay, the old-fashioned way was prepare. Okay, they changed even the key words, but it's okay. It means we double our vocabulary. So it's love and prepare, and you'll hear the lesson speaking about preparation. As we get ready to worship, we'll be singing the hymn, two verses, light one candle to watch for Messiah. Let us pray. Gracious God, you've provided us a beautiful day this day. Your light shines in this natural world, but your light also is coming and shining for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through these Sundays, a preparation of Advent for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Be with us and keep us faithful until he returns. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We please rise for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who's the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free. He's the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy. He's the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You're anointed to serve. So stand up, raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, verses 1 and 4, on Jordan's banks, the Baptist cries, 1 and 4. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together, if you would join me. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. One God. Amen. And if you'll be seated, we have the reading from Malachi. Marcia leads us in the text.
The Lord announces a covenant with Israel. A messenger like Malachi, his name means my messenger, shall prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by purifying and refining God's people as silver and gold are refined. The first reading comes from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. At the early service, there is no temple talk, no children's church, so we proceed with our second reading by Randy.
The Apostle Paul was the pastor of many new churches. He writes in this letter about his joy to be in partnership with the Christians of Philippi. Listen to how tender-hearted Paul, sometimes a stern preacher, is with his friends as he encourages them to grow in love and knowledge. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rick. If you're able to stand, please do so. We'll speak the gospel acclamation. Together, please. Alleluia. Prepare the way of the Lord. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Alleluia.
The gospel reading of the day from our new gospel, Luke, which began with Advent 1. Third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. So in the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was the ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. As it is written from the scriptures, from the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every path and valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough road shall be smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio WPHM, we greet you in the name of the risen Christ and the one who promises during this Advent time to come again, to intervene and cease this lifestyle, and to bring us into his eternal kingdom. And as we delve into the scriptures for this day, it is certainly one that points to a preparation, getting ready. During the children's sermon, I'm going to kind of prick their brains and ask them, how do they prepare for the day or night before they get up for school? Chances are they'll say, I just throw on my clothes in the morning, and there is no preparation. Ask ourselves, if you're preparing for incoming company or outgoing trafficking for the holidays and you're traveling, what preparation do you do? And when you have the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to come into our world, time and space, whether it's through death or through his coming into this world physically. How do we prepare? How do we prepare? Well, the first reading comes from Malachi. Probably the only thing most people know about Malachi is, I hope you know this, it's the last book of the Old Testament. But they don't know much more about Malachi. It's not necessarily written last, but then again, nobody knows why the ordering of the books are in the order they are. We accept it as tradition and part of how God wants it done. Malachi, prophet of the Lord God. His very name means messenger, one who carries greetings and a task. He says, the Lord is coming. And when he comes, he's not going to piddle around going along on a tourist scene or a path. He's going straight to the temple. He's going to claim his authority and power over the spiritual condition of his people. He has made a covenant. He is coming. That's the promise, Malachi says, of the Lord of hosts. And when he comes, it's going to be a powerful day. It's going to knock you over. You've got to understand, in Hebrew thought, Jewish thought, the day of the Lord meant good things, like he's going to whip the foe and vanquish the innocent Israel and Judah. The other prophets say, oh, when he comes, all of you are going to be judged, not just the Gentiles. It's kind of like in the New Testament, I hope you know the passage. And that while we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul also says, all of God's people will stand before the Lord in judgment. We don't get a pass. We too will be judged as all God's people. And with that understanding, he says, not all of you are going to be jumping for joy Because when he comes, you can't fake it with God. God knows the hearts and minds of people, and only God knows that. Not the outside, not the exterior, but God knows the hearts and the minds of his people. When he comes, there's going to be a refiner's fire. Now, I don't work with metals, but I have seen my father as a plumber working with lead and melting it in the pot on a propane tank, getting it ready to pour and make things out of the lead. In the course of things, there's a burning and a separation that takes place in those kind of metals. So too with gold, so too with silver. There's a purifying process that takes great heat to make it happen. Likewise, when God comes, there will be a judgment and there'll be a cleaning. You and I are not in a condition as we are in sin, in flesh, to just walk into the gates, but we are going to be refined by Jesus Christ. On that day, fulfillment of God's word, Malachi says, will take place. Then there'll be rejoicing. Then there'll be happiness because the old things have passed away. And kind of like the New Testament says, book of Revelation, and behold, the new is beginning. To the second reading, Philippi. It's a wonderful introduction that Randy wrote for us, because this is probably the most significant writing of Paul that was nice. Most of Paul's writings had a bite to them. He liked them all, he loved them all, but there were certain things they had to clean up in their household, and all of the epistles speak to that. Philippi is different. When he's talking to the population of the city of Philippi, the Philippians are guided in hearing affirming words like joy. That's used 80 times in one writing, a letter. In that joy, Paul grounds it in Jesus Christ. The joy has started to creep in when a man named John. Now you notice there's no lineage in this epistle. You know, we get the lineage from the Gospels about how he was a relative to Jesus and that kind of stuff. But that wasn't essential for Paul. He wanted to get to the crux of the matter. John came to this world. He came to prepare, like Malachi said, a people knowing and fulfilling with the Messiah on the way. Now notice, John doesn't name him by name, Yeshua. He doesn't name him Jesus. He just describes the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley is going to be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. And then all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Paul understood as a young man that his purpose in life was to be secondary, never primary. In the Gospels, when Jesus, in the Gospel of John, first opening chapters, when Jesus is walking by John and his disciples, it's John who says, that's the man you have to follow. Behold, he's the Lamb of God who is coming to the world. The others thought John might be the Messiah. John always put those allegations down as false. I guess if he was on an ego trip and he wanted to be popular, he could have accepted the title. But his style was humble. He was a messenger. He was not the message. Jesus would be both a messenger and the message, not John. There was confusion, it's suggested in the scriptures, because even after the resurrection, there were still followers of John in the book of Acts. And they were corrected by the disciples that John has moved on, he died. But the Messiah was always, as John pointed, Jesus. And so we see the beginning of John proclaiming the prophetic message and identifying that this is the generation this was being fulfilled after 600 years of previous announcement. It's in that recognition John's life and his ministry unfolded, and repeatedly he kept pointing to Jesus to let them know the one who brings salvation to each and every one of us has now entered our time and our space. To the gospel reading, we come to the realization that that was the gospel, I'm sorry, the one about the day of the Lord. I thank my Lord always for constantly praying in joy for you, because you're sharing in what I'm doing, my ministry. It's right for me to be fond for you, Paul writes, and because you, I hold you in my heart. God is my witness. I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this Christmas card, but I've seen it on a card some years ago, and it has this passage of the Philippian text. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I was looking at Christmas cards this last week. You get anything from peanuts to contemporary figures, to cartoons, to artists' conceptions, the words joy and peace, and all kinds of secular beautiful scenes, snowy fields, wonderful coverings. But where is Jesus Christ getting pushed back and back and back? I dare you, as I try to do, to find some Christian Christmas cards. Not just with wishing you the best for this season. I'm not talking that. What's that mean? Wishing you happiness at this time. Well, there's some people not happy. That doesn't get to it. What is this season? What is it that we look on for and hunger for as God's people? And that's the things that make sense and offer us hope and joy, like Paul says. Search hard, because the culture is not going to give it. Open the scripture, and you're going to find it everywhere. Whether it's Paul writings, Malachi's writings, or the gospel lessons, like today. The message is coming to this world. Now, we live in what we call theologically the in-between time, okay? There is the time in which Jesus Christ was born, died, and risen. Then comes along the message, though it was always there, but they thought that Jesus would be back in the first century. I hope you know that. They were disappointed he wasn't. And the re-understanding was it wasn't in that day. It was to come at a later date. So here we are, still waiting on the brink. Lord, when are you coming? Kind of like when they were standing on the Mount of Olives at the Ascension? Is this the time, Jesus, you're going to restore the kingdom? And he says, I'm not going to tell you. The time will come and surprise you. So between that first promise and his return, we live in the in-between time. Make sense? We are the people of God, people of promise. We look around us at the world and say, my God, hurry up. And we recognize this world's in trouble and it needs what only God can give us. His presence, his lordship, his kingship over all creation, not just the bad people, all people. And set this world right according to his divine plan and promise. So prepare. And live with love and understand God keeps all of God's promises. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, page 9, Comfort, Comfort Now, My People. Worship continues with our prayers, page 9. If you please rise, and Jane will lead us.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Prepare your church to share the good news, life-giving God. Put your word within us and dwell among us. Send us out to proclaim the mercy and salvation that abides in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protect the creation, life-giving God. Sustain the mountains and the hills. Restore the rivers. Give us wisdom and compassion to care for wilderness areas and urban ecosystems. Move us to care for your creation in all its form and richness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Purify the hearts of all people, life-giving God. Remove the hate that lives within us and among us. Mold us into peacemakers. Raise up leaders rooted in your love and fed by your word. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort all who hurt, life-giving God. Wrap them in your tender care. Remember the forgotten and send us out to share your love with them. Be with the wandering, the worried, and the woeful. Today we pray especially for Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Alexander Rostoni, Jessica Fai, Elvira and Joe Colthard, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Don Seltzer, Don Juskuski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Sharon Cunningham, Doug McLean, Daniel Tubbs, Jeff Parker's uncle, Tom, Daniel Baisley, Linda Leonard, Holly Allen and her mother, the family of Betty Middleton with her passing, and the family of Kathy Ledsworth, sister of Joyce DeJohn, with her passing. We also remember those that are serving our nation here and abroad. Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, and Rob Nolan, and all those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless this congregation, life-giving God. Give strength and joy to worship leaders, musicians, and our altar guild as they prepare the way for the celebration of the Christ child's coming among us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember the generations who have shown us your faithfulness, life-giving God. Shine your light on those who mourn and prepare us for the day that when we will see you face to face. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you, Lord, these prayers and those unspoken. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. On this day we sing the Lord's Prayer, please. You'll please be seated. We receive our gifts to do the work Christ has entrusted with us. Several announcements. Some placed on my counter here. If you notice the flowers, I'm not pointing at you, Jane. The flowers are a special gift. Apparently, I never knew we had an alumni of the Our Savior Lutheran Youth Choir. Right, Lori? And they met at a holy place called the Brass Rail, right? No. The pictures I saw, I thought, were from the Brass Rail. Where was it?
Well, we haven't been recently.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was an old run. Okay.
A few months ago,
we've
met a few times.
Oh, how cute.
And we have a meeting
coming up in January. Oh, nice. That's a neat phenomenon. So any of you who are alumni, check in with Lori. Jennifer, too, right? You're part of it. Yeah. So anyways, they contributed for the flowers. There aren't many of those who sacrificed to be leaders for the choir along with Catherine, but there is one, and she listens to this broadcast. All I can say is her name's Dorothy Schess. And so when she comes to the second service, certainly want to acknowledge that with her in person, because I know she's coming. So it's kind of nice when you have leaders who sacrificially invest in time, energy, and values to our youth. It's priceless. It really is. So we thank all of those over the years. You've had tons of advisors and leaders, right? Yeah. What's that? Hey. Because people will come up to me just casually and say, you know, I went on those trips too. So they would used to take trips around as part of, well, I don't want to say a reward, but as a gift from the adults for the youth to take their time to sing regularly in the worship of this congregation. A nice service that they have provided us. So the flowers on the altar from that. You know that today is a double deadline. One of which is for the gifts if you took a tag from the Christmas tree. I've had several people throughout this week saying, when are they due? It's December 9th. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to wrap it? I thought that was as clear as anything. Yes, please wrap them. Well, how do I tag it? You bring that one and tape it back to the package. Leave it alone. Our committee is fully functional. They will do the rest of the work and get it delivered. So today is the day. If you have somehow blotted out and said, oh my gosh, I forgot, get it here ASAP. I noticed when I came in this morning, unless somebody picked it up after I arrived, which is easily, there was still one tag. Okay, still one tag unclaimed for a girl, I believe. So if you haven't participated in this annual adoption of two families with several children, you may pick up that tag and bring it back to us as soon as possible. And remember to wrap it and tag it. And that'll take care of that. The other deadline is the insert we provided for you for the last 3 weeks is for poinsettias. Poinsettias will be used on Sunday the 23rd. That way they will make it through January 6th, which is Epiphany. And that's when we encourage you to take them home that week. So we need that deadline today so that the florist can make provisions for the allotment for us for our flowers. So today, please pass in the thing with your payment. And I should tell you what goes on in the office. We're going to have somebody call on Tuesday and say, oh, I didn't know it was the deadline. Or I didn't put my money with the ship, you know. Please put the money with it. It makes it so much easier in our financial secretary to match them out. Payment was made, promise for the flowers, okay? That's what we need. Inside your folder, bulletin, is the piano recital next Sunday, 3:00. For the community, this is the third year we have hosted this. It is a wonderful thing, Lori, who is the director and has been for many years a piano teacher. When she was here 2 weeks ago to play the organ for us, she'll be here next week as well. And then that afternoon, she'll lead the recital. So the gift of music and seeing adults working with youth, mentoring, so that they grow to a love of music as well. Many other things in your bulletin, please read them carefully. Respond to the ones appropriate for you. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise.
pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. May God direct your ways in peace. May you abound in love for all and in all, and strengthen your hearts, one another, until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is From Heaven Above.
Led on by the saints before us, go in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.
Skill to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and Christ died to save me, this I read, and in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. Daddy would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to die. You counted strange, so once did I.
Hey, watch wash my sin away.
He's got the little bitty baby In his hands he's got the little bitty baby. In his hands he's got the little bitty baby. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got you and me, sister. In his everybody here.